Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, there is one of the great religions of the world who believes and teaches and repeats over and over and over and over again one of the greatest myths and lies to keep people in bondage to that church. And that is the Roman Catholic Church, which says Peter came to Rome in 42 AD. And he was crucified in Rome and buried in Rome. Well, the truth is, from the scriptures and true history and archaeological evidence, we know Peter never went to Rome. And none of the bones that supposedly they got in the catacombs are the bones of Peter. In fact, one bone was found to be from a woman. Now, how are we going to be able to prove this from the scriptures? Well, we're putting online a chronology of the New Testament. And this chronology of the New Testament will prove that Peter was never in Rome. You have to understand that it is proven that 30 AD, April the 5th, according to the Julian calendar, Nisan 14, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, and by the way, the early New Testament church used the calculated Hebrew calendar. Nisan 14 was when Jesus was crucified. He was resurrected toward the end of the Sabbath after being in the grave 3 days and three nights. He ascended into heaven on the wave sheaf offering day to be accepted by God the Father as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Later came back to the earth that same day and appeared to the apostles. And he was with them for 40 days and 40 nights, showing the infallible proofs of his resurrection. And we've also seen that the claim that Peter was the first pope by virtue of what was recorded in Matthew 16 was not true. So let's come to the book of Acts, because the book of Acts gives us very important historical truths on which we can understand the chronology of the New Testament. Now then, what would be the most perfect time to make Peter the first pope? Would it not be the last day before Jesus ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father? That would really be the best place to do it, because that would end all doubt once and for all, wouldn't it? But let's see what Jesus told them. So let's pick it up here in Acts, the first chapter. And as we do, let's understand something. Paul wrote and said that all Scripture is God-breathed. Now, that means each and every one. Now, some translations have perverted what the originals that are actually called autographs. The copies are called apographs, and a translation is generally from an apograph. Now, an apograph, if it follows the autograph, carries the same weight and authority as the autograph. Now, holy men were the ones who wrote the New Testament. So we need these historical facts because God the Father and Jesus Christ knew way ahead of time that Satan the devil would raise up the counterfeit Christian church through Simon Magus, which we have already covered. Now we need to go through the chronology of the book of Acts and other scriptures, which will absolutely prove that Peter never went to Rome at any time. So let's pick up the Bible account here in Acts, the first chapter. The first account I have written, O Theophilus, concerning all things that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after giving command by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also by many infallible proofs he presented himself alive after he had suffered, being seen by them for 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now that's a tremendous thing to understand. And at no time do we find that Peter was made pope during that time. So we're going to investigate now from the time of the beginning of the New Testament church. And the New Testament church did not begin in Rome. It began in Jerusalem at the temple on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're going to see that. We've already covered a couple verses from there. But what we're going to see is that all the original apostles were from the house of Israel, Benjamin and Judah and Levi. We'll talk about the Apostle Paul later, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, not Peter. Now let's pick it up here in verse 4. And while they were assembled with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard of me. For John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit after not many days." And so the count of the time from the ascension of Jesus to heaven to be accepted by God the Father, which was the Old Testament wave sheaf offering day, and he was the first of the first fruits, and he fulfilled it when he ascended in heaven to the Father's throne. And he came back the very same day and appeared to the apostles for the 40 days. Now, the apostles knew that Jesus was going to establish the kingdom of God beginning with Israel. So now they ask this question. Verse 6. So then when they were assembled together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority." Now, he could have told them, "Hey, guys, listen. You hang tight. You're going to start things, but I'm not coming back for 2,000 years. He didn't do that. See, because things are revealed as necessary when we need to know the information. Let's continue. "But you yourselves shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you, collective you, shall be my witnesses," not Peter, all the apostles, "both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the ends of the earth." And that was a prophecy of the coming writing of the New Testament, which would be distributed in mass around the world like we have today, nearly 7 billion Bibles in the world. And it's gone to the ends of the earth. So the writings and teachings of the apostles have been sent by God to be there. Now I imagine that even someone down in the Antarctic, near the South Pole, they have a Bible there someplace. We've gotten emails from many places in the world, but never from the South Pole. So if anybody's down there at the South Pole, be sure and email me and let me know that Church at Home has arrived in Antarctica. All right, let's go on. And after saying these things, as they were looking at him, he was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. Now while they were gazing intently into heaven as he was going up, two men, that is two angels, in white apparel suddenly stood by them, who also said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall come in exactly the same manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And he left from the Mount of Olives, and Zechariah 14 says that when he comes back, his feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And Revelation, the first chapter, says that every eye shall see him. And that's quite a story. You need to go to cbcg.org, and you need to go through some of the sermons that we have concerning Pentecost and the return of Christ and all the fantastic events that are going to take place. You need to go to the segments that we have on Church at Home, which shows about how Jesus Christ is going to return. And it's going to return probably in the lifetimes of most of us today. And it's not going to be a secret rapture, and it's not going to be a hidden thing. It is going to be heaven-shaking and earth-shaking, and as the book of Revelation shows, absolutely dynamic and powerful beyond anything we have ever understood. So they went back. Now, we'll just summarize the rest of it. So they had to select another apostle to take Judas' place who fell. So they selected Matthias to replace him. Now let's see what happened. Come over here to chapter 2. And let's see how the church began. And remember, Jesus said he would build it on the rock of himself and not on Peter, though Peter was one of the leading apostles. We will see very soon that it was Peter and John. Now let's read just a couple of verses here about the day of Pentecost. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost, the 50th day, was being fulfilled, they were all with one accord in the same place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound of the rushing of a powerful wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So that power and authority came from God, not from Peter. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them words to proclaim. So they proclaimed Christ crucified and resurrected. And it was a witness to those at the temple. Now there may have been as many as 50,000 people there. Now think about this. Those who had come in from the countries, out of the diaspora, they had heard about the crucifixion. They had heard that his body was stolen away or he was resurrected. And so they came to Jerusalem, and God inspired a lot of them to come to Jerusalem so they would get this witness concerning the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with the power of God through the 12 apostles speaking dynamically. Some of them said, well, you know, they're all drunk. But Peter said, no, this is the third hour in the morning. We're not drunk as you suppose. And he gave a powerful sermon to them, convicting them that they had their part and their hand in crucifying Jesus Christ. And remember this, there were probably some of those who were out there in the crowd when Pilate came and showed him Jesus and said, whom do you want? Give us Barabbas. And what shall I do with this man? Crucify him, crucify him. And they even were so absolutely set in their ways that they said, and his blood be upon us and our children. And what you need to understand is this. When you make any statement like that to God, he's going to take you up on it. And for the Jews that said that, did he not take them up on it? Did he not in 70 AD destroy the temple? But first, he gave them an opportunity to repent. First, he gave them an opportunity to come out from underneath that, their own judgment upon themselves and their future children. So Peter ended his sermon here in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he knew there were those out there who were the ones out there shouting, crucify him, crucify him. There may have even been some of those who were standing right there watching Jesus die on the cross who were taunting him and mocking him and saying, if you're the Christ, save yourself and come down from there. So these are pretty powerful things. Now, verse 37, and after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. So this had to include a lot of those who were there saying those things. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, not just to Peter, but the other apostles, see, they are all included. Not just Peter as the Pope. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter answered and said to them, and this is the message for all of us today. Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. All of those who are listening, all of those of you who follow a church at home, what are you going to do with the truth of God that we present? Because God holds you responsible for it. What are you going to do with the knowledge concerning the Sabbath and Passover and holy days of God? Are you going to continue in the way that you're going? Are you going to prove what is right? Are you going to prove what is true? Are you going to hold fast to that which is good? And you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is the important thing, the Holy Spirit of God, to lead us and guide us, and that's the power by which God does everything that he does. And he gives it to us as a begettal so that we can become his own son or daughter. This is the beginning of the most dynamic and fantastic thing to ever happen on the face of the earth. And then God at that time, in giving the Holy Spirit, began to make his dwelling place in the converted hearts and minds of those who repent and receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why he destroyed the temple. He destroyed the temple because of the sins of the Jews. So we're just here at the beginning. So let's see. Peter said, verse 39, for the promises to you and your children and to all of those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God may call. And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Question, are we living in a more perverted generation today than ever before? With perverted sex, perversion of marriage, the most ludicrous and insane thing is to declare same-sex marriages as on a par of husband and wife, man and woman. We have a perverted education. We have a perverted government. We have a perverted economic system. So the call to you today is, save yourself from this perverse and perverted generation through Jesus Christ, through repentance and baptism. Notice what happened here, verse 41, right there at the temple. Then those who joyfully received his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added that day. Quite a thing. As we go along, we'll ask the question, did Peter leave for Rome shortly after this? No, this is in 30 A.D. It is said that he went to Rome in 42 A.D., and that's when Simon Magus went, as we have already seen. But the question will remain, did Peter ever go to Rome? Well, let's see where he operated from. He was right there in Jerusalem, and let's understand that the apostles were in Jerusalem, most of them, until about 40, 42, 44 A.D. And where were the original apostles told to go? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All right, let's follow the chronology along now. Chapters 3 through 5, the gospel was preached in Jerusalem. That very thing that the scribes and Pharisees and the Romans wanted to get rid of grew right there in Jerusalem to such an extent that it was absolutely astonishing. And remember, Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests, were the ones that convicted and tried Jesus and had him crucified. Now here are the apostles, plus the hand of miracle of God. Now, chapter 3 is very interesting. It was on a day when Peter and John were coming into the temple, and there was a man at the gate, Beautiful, who was begging. And he had been there for many years, begging alms. And he had his particular spot going into the temple area where he would beg alms. So Peter and John were coming in, and he was expecting to receive something from them. Now, chapter 3 and verse 4, Peter and John. Never heard of John being the apostle to the Romans, have you? Well, there they are together. When he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked to receive alms, but Peter and John, intently observing him, said, "Look on us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, this I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk." Now notice he didn't say, "I am the first pope. I am telling you, rise and walk." No, "in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones were strengthened. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and praising God. Now all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew who it was because they saw him all the time. He'd been there many years. So the people were coming and looking intently upon the apostles as if they had the power to do this. Notice what Peter said. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Men, Israelites, why are you wondering about this? Why are you looking upon us so intently as if by our own power and godliness we have made him to walk?" Didn't say, "I'm the first pope. Everybody bow down." No. Who did he give credit to? "The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate after he had judged to release him." So then he used this as an opportunity to preach the gospel concerning Christ. "But you denied the holy and righteous one and had requested a man who was a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And through faith in his name, this man whom you see and know was made strong in his name, and the faith that is through him gave this complete soundness to him in the presence of you all." Then he said, "Now I know you did this in ignorance, brother." Then he told him, "Repent and be converted." And boy, there were thousands that repented. And this got to the Sanhedrin. And they wanted to know, what is happening? Well, we'll continue this next time, because the chronology will bring us down through the things of the apostles and what they did and where they went. And we can discern from the scriptures clearly that Peter was never in Rome. So you download the chronology, you follow along with us in this short series we're doing, Peter was never in Rome, and you're going to be mighty surprised, because it's just exactly like John the Baptist told the scribes and Pharisees who were trying to flee the wrath that was coming. He says, "Who warned you to flee the wrath that is coming? Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." And now the axe is already being taken against the tree. And that's what's happening. What we're going to bring out is like taking an axe and chopping down the major doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church as worthless lies and not true. And then people have to ask the question, do I want to base my life on the truth of the true Jesus Christ or on the lies of men? So what are you going to do? Just like Peter said, what will you do? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying until next time, so long, everyone.